The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside and issue number 76, where John and I chat about Iron Man from 2008. We get pretty nostalgic, obviously. It's a 12-year-old movie. We hit on all the usual, the start of the MCU, Robert Downey Jr. But then we kind of flip the bright side chat on its head and we go, negative? Is Iron Man actually a bad movie? Does it have a bad story? Were we tricked? Let's head into the store and find out. Hey, John, I'm back. How you doing?
It's the end of the world, DJ, and I feel fine.
Were you saving that all weekend?
I literally just came up with it right now.
You literally just came up with one of the oldest jokes.
I know. Well, it's apropos, if nothing.
Oh, look at that. You're rolling out the French.
Yep.
We're nothing if not multilingual.
That's right.
Yeah, some of the lingual is not fit for print, but... As you ended in last week's podcast, if you stuck around for the end, you get the little treat that John wanted to sneak in for everybody because he was upset that Martin got his little...
Yeah, a little inside dig at DJ. Yeah, I had to text him.
He wasn't happy. Like,
Martin slipped one in, and I was like, man, I can't slip anything in.
Oh boy! All right.
Now I know what gets past the censors, so I know what to slip in.
Exactly. Exactly. So quiet weekend. We had a really good time Saturday morning. That was fun, huh?
Yeah, sure was.
Yeah. We'll maybe do it again this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, hey. Well, unless I get to go back to work, we'll see.
You got the week off. We could record like the next 3 months worth.
That's true. We should get our stockpile of shows ready now so I can take off at Christmas.
Right. Exactly. just want what people want to hear at Christmas time. Hey, everybody.
Coronavirus.
How's the coronavirus doing?
It's like, damn it, we just got over this.
Oh, they're not so bright anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, what were we talking about a second ago? And then we said we should talk about.
Oh, Disney Plus.
Oh, Disney Plus. Yeah, you said they tripled.
Yeah, I saw an article, or well, really just a headline because that's all I read. I don't do the clicks. But it said that their subscribership to Disney Plus has tripled since all the stay at home orders started going out. So, another boon for Disney because they were hurting for money. So.
Yeah, I've been checking I don't check all the time, but our listenership has tripled and we're up to 12. It's nice.
Awesome. Yeah.
So we're doing good.
We're getting there.
We're doing good. Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty soon we'll be up to the small time and then we can worry about the medium time and the big time later.
Yeah, exactly. We're looking at the big time through a pair of binoculars.
Right now I'm looking up at the worm's belly and we'll go from there.
Oh. All right. All right, we don't have much else, do we? You ready to just get at it?
Yeah.
All right.
Of course.
Let's play this recent trailer and we'll come back and talk about spoiler free. Talk about Iron Man.
Yeah.
Mr. Stark, you've been called the Da Vinci of our time. What do you say to that?
Absolutely ridiculous. I don't paint.
What do you say to your other nickname, the Merchant of Death?
That's not Ben.
They say the best weapon is one you never have to fire. I prefer the weapon you only need to fire once. That's how Dad did it. That's how America does it. And it's worked out pretty well so far. To peace.
I should be dead already. Unless it was for a reason. I just finally know what I have to do.
That doesn't look like a NASA. What are you building, Stark?
I'm working on something big.
All right. That was pretty cool. That was pretty cool. It was funny listening to that back, and I didn't know if they were going to go to the, like, the, what, I Am Iron Man at the, I'd forgotten the trailer, but it seemed like they were staying away from that stuff at the beginning of it.
Yeah, well, it was funny because when we were listening to the trailer, I was like, is this the trailer or just like the first 3 minutes of the movie?
Right.
Because it literally just opens the movie and then, you know, they go off. But yeah, you know, as far as trailers go, I mean, it's funny thinking back now because we know everything that's happened with the MCU.
That's what
But like when I first started watching that trailer in 2008, I mean, I thought about that movie like I thought about Bloodshot a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like, I went into that movie, like, the trailer didn't hype me up that much to go see the movie. I was like, well, you know, cool, an Iron Man movie, but, you know, it's Iron Man, and, you know, it's just a trailer for an Iron Man. Like, I wasn't super pumped going into that to see that movie. You know, I kind of walked in thinking, you know, it's an Iron Man movie.
Yeah.
And the trailer, you know, like I said, it's a great trailer, but it didn't do that much to really pump you up. But, you know, and then obviously we know what happened from there because the movie ended up, you know, kicking off I don't know how many billion-dollar franchise they've made off of these Marvel movies. But
it's funny that you said that you mentioned Bloodshot because one of the reasons – peek under the stairs here. We've had Iron Man scheduled for a while. Like we talked about this a long time, and it was about around this time. I think we actually had it scheduled to – we were going to do it a couple of weeks ago. And then we started, we did the Netflix ones, and so this got bumped. But it just so happens that, like, it worked out that it's, like, it's perfect coming after Bloodshot because we mentioned last week about Bloodshot being maybe the next for Valiant.
Right.
And then
being their Iron Man.
Right. And then going back and watching Iron Man and, like, having that in the back of your mind, that's a minor part of what we're going to – what I think we're going to talk about today. I just felt like watching this movie, seeing the start of it and having, there were no expectations. You couldn't have imagined what was about to come for the next.
Oh, no. If you would have told me in the month or so leading up to the Iron Man movie being released that we were going to kick off this MCU.
Right.
I would have said you were crazy, you know? It's like, nobody saw that guy. And again, Robert Downey Jr. was such a gamble. You know, we're all going into this movie thinking, you know, this, what kind of train wreck is this going to be, you know?
There was enough talk about him before the movie that I feel like there was as much animosity for him as there was for, say, Ben Affleck as Batman.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like nobody was really against Ben Affleck. I mean, there were people that were like, I don't know.
But nobody was really for him either.
Nobody was really for him. What we know now is like nobody else could be Tony Stark.
Well, exactly.
Right? And I felt that way at the end of
the movie. We also know how much Marvel didn't want him and, you know, how much Jon Favreau had to fight to get him.
Yeah.
You know, he was definitely not the first choice of Marvel.
Who was?
I don't know. And like you said, now we can't picture anybody. But again, same thing. There's no other Captain America but Chris Evans. There's no other Thor but Chris Hemsworth. And there's no other Tony Stark. Right? Like, nobody else could play that role, it feels like.
Right.
You know, 20 years from now when they recast it and reboot it, I'm sure we'll like whoever it is. But now you just can't picture anybody else.
We'll be senile, but...
Yeah. You can't picture anybody else ever being Tony Stark.
No.
And really because he's just playing Robert Downey Jr.
Right.
I mean,
I felt that way walking out of the theater on this movie. It's like by the end of this movie, you're like, well, he's Tony. I mean, like you said, he's Robert Downey Jr. playing Robert Downey Jr.
Right.
You're like, how were we questioning this, you know, 2 hours ago?
Like,
you know, after you see the movie. But getting into this movie, like just sitting down and watching this again and having all of that history. It's been a while since I've seen it. I say a while, it's probably been a year. I probably watched it when it came out on 4K and I, you know, cause it came out. So I watched it, but with the perspective that we have now of everything that's gone on, it's just like the little things that you watch in this movie, some of the lines of, there's one line when he's in the cave, I think, talking about, you're going to die doing this or something like that. And it's like, you're just like, they didn't know what they were doing at the time.
Right.
They wrote around that later, and it all comes to fruition. And it's just, it's really cool to go back and watch this movie and see where this all started. It's insane.
Well, yeah, like I can't tell you the last time I watched it. No, again, you're much more well-versed. Like, I might have more comic book knowledge than you, but when it comes to these movies, you're way more well-versed than I am in any of these movies. You catch me all the time making mistakes in these movies because I don't rewatch them. Like, I watched this movie in 2008. I probably watched it 6 months later when it came to DVD or Blu-ray, and I might not have seen it since. You know, I don't know these movies like the back of my hand like you do. That's why, you know, a lot of times I'll make a comment and you'll be like, no, that's not how it happened. But, like, I had so much fun rewatching this movie because I might not, it's probably been 10 years since I've seen it.
Really?
So, yeah, oh, wow. I just don't do rewatches of these movies that often because I have so much other, like, I just
you
go
have
on
so
other
much
things.
Other things to binge.
Yeah, I'm binging something else, you know.
Right.
That it's very rare that I, you know, just pull out a movie and throw it in my DVD player and watch it. I'm doing it a little bit more now that I've kind of got back into the home theater bug, but I had a blast watching this movie again. And, you know, again, I watched it on, I only have the Blu-ray. I don't have it on 4K.
Oh.
So I actually watched it on Disney Plus, and I watched it in the 4K in the Atmos.
Oh.
And, you know, again, we know that it's not quite the quality of a disc, but it was still better than my Blu-ray. Like, it was still pretty damn good. Like, I you know, it's Disney Plus, so reference level is a little bit off, so I cranked it all the way up to reference level, and I watched this movie, and I had a blast watching this movie. I really forgot how much fun it was.
The cave,
you know, and obviously we all liked it, obviously,
yeah.
But yeah, I forgot how much fun this movie was. I really had a good time watching it.
He really, I mean, this is the first one, but Iron Man is what started the entire MCU. I mean, it was him. Then we went Iron Man. We went Incredible Hulk. Back to Iron Man 2. So it,
right. And the thing is, you know, you could say, you know, if this movie was a flop, then we don't have the MCU today, right? But even though this movie did really well, we went to the Incredible Hulk, which was kind of a flop. You know,
right.
And it didn't do as well. So the fact that they came back again with another Iron Man movie, if they wouldn't have done that, we still might not have the MCU, you know, because they would have said, well, Iron Man was a hit, but the Hulk was a flop. So, you know, maybe we just move on. And, you know, it took a little bit of fortitude at the time to kind of press forward and, you know, keep these things going. But yeah, if it wasn't for, we had all three Iron Man movies really before the MCU got going. And if it wasn't for Iron Man,
Well,
wouldn't be here today.
Iron Man 3 came out in 2013 after the Avengers. So we had already linked every, because we had had
that's true,
Thor and Captain America First Avenger. So we had had, and obviously in the Hulk. So then we have Avengers. Then Iron Man 3 is done.
We've been done with Iron Man for 7 years already.
Right.
You know,
but
for all intents and purposes.
But yeah, so getting back to Iron Man, you know, in 2008, how about looking at young Robert Downey Jr.?
Yeah.
I don't know if he aged a lot because that's at that time period, that's where you tend to age more. Like, we're in that part, you know, where it's like you look the same for 20 years and all of a sudden it's like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
But even Gwyneth Paltrow, what's his name? Clark Gregg?
Clark Gregg, yeah. He looked like he did in the flashbacks of Captain Marvel.
Where they did they de-aged him in Captain Marvel. But just think of some of the people. You know who I thought of? Paul Bettany, which you didn't see him.
Right, but
who
knew
he was going to end up being? There's no way they knew, like, oh yeah, I'll play the voice if you write me in later on in Endgame.
Oh no, I don't think so. There's no way they were planning far ahead.
Isn't that cool for him though? I mean, just where this went, and I just thought it was really, really fun knowing everything that's gone on for these characters.
It was great for everybody except Terrence Howard.
Yes.
I love the line where he turns around to the War Machine kind of slash suit, and he says, next time. And I was like, yeah, but not for you, buddy.
Yeah.
You know?
But get, I love that scene because I remember, like, when that happened in, you know, in real time, when I saw it in the theater.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, War Machine.
Gonna
awesome.
Be another yeah. one. Yeah, that's yep. gonna be awesome. It's like, just the idea, like, yeah, one, you're getting War Machine, and two, there's gonna be
another movie, right?
You're getting another one. He said, next time, baby. It's like, that was, and we got it. Just wasn't him. I think he regrets that.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
Well, he says he doesn't.
Well, looking back on it, he regrets it, right? How could you not? And of course, what's he going to say? Of course he's going to say he doesn't regret it.
No.
But
I mean, he's had a good career since then.
He has had a good career, you know, and he's got Empire or whatever that's doing, you know, I think it's ending now. I never watched it, but I mean, it was a big hit for Fox. So, I mean, he's made his money. It's not like you know, not done anything, but ask any of the movie companies that passed on Star Wars if they regret it and see what they tell you. You know, it's like there's no way you don't regret. You know, you don't regret that. But yeah, I had to laugh at that because I was like, yeah, not for you.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah,
there's a lot of negativity around her. Even now.
Well, and I share in a lot of it, honestly.
Do you?
Like, I do. But I love her in everything she's in. Like,
yeah.
I like her as an actress. I just don't like her very much as a person.
Yeah,
which
you
is
hear
fine.
About the candle she's selling?
Yeah.
Yeah, we heard about that.
I'm definitely.
This podcast.
I'm definitely able to separate the art from the artist. And I know a lot of people can't. But, you know, I love Seven. It's a great movie. I really like her performance.
She lost her head.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, I really loved her performance as Pepper. Like, I found myself, you know, kind of charmed by her, even though I don't really like her, you know?
See, so, I don't think when this movie came out, I don't think there was any animosity.
No, I don't,
taken off. Yeah. You don't know who she is. I thought she completely embodied the character. I thought she was great. I love the opening line of the movie. One of her opening lines of, like, even taking out the trash, you know, I love that line. It was so, but I loved her through the movie, and I thought that they had a great, and, you know, we get into a lot of this, you know, romantic chemistry stuff here. I thought she had a great chemistry with Robert Downey Jr.
She did.
And that, you know,
and obviously it came through and paid off all the way to the end.
That's, you know, yeah. And that's what,
all the, like, way to Endgame, you know,
right.
It paid off.
Pepper Potts was in the first and last movie, and she had a great arc, and she's like, in this one, there is a part of this where she's like, you're going to kill yourself doing this. Right. And of course he does at the, you know, spoilers in Endgame.
Right.
And she's like, but I don't want to be there when it happens.
Right.
And she was, and I just thought that was, it's just, obviously, watching Iron Man the first time, you're just like, you have no idea of what's coming.
Right,
but
of course. But
to have that all play out and have it, that's what I think one of those things that makes Endgame so good is that they wrote in how many movies they had to do that for when they're writing that movie. But
yeah, I mean, I feel like some of it was organic and it maybe just evolved, but a lot of it was consciously written, of course. But some of that stuff might have just happened, you know.
Yeah.
They're writing individual movies, and sometimes they just kind of cross in lucky places. But yeah, you know, and obviously when they wrote Endgame, they had a lot of history they could go back and rewatch.
Right, but going back and watching these movies, and like we said a couple of weeks ago with, I can't remember what movie we were doing that was really good and we didn't. Logan.
Yeah.
And we're like, These aren't the movies we expected to be doing when we started.
No, because even now, I'm like, we're 22 minutes into this, and I'm like, we're almost done. Like, I can't.
No.
You know, it's easy to go when, like, again, Dr. Joe isn't going to like this show that much because, you know, we both like the movie, and, like, there's nothing to argue about. So.
All right. I got one for you that I thought of. I was using my John brain.
Uh-oh.
So when he's in the cave, right, and there, and he's making his new, he's making Mach 1,
right,
and he brings out the drawings, the blueprints, and he flattens them out, right.
Right.
So Joe and I are watching the movie, and these two have been trapped in this cave together, the entire time, locked in. And he goes, check these out.
Yeah.
If you and I were locked in a cage,
I'd be watching what you were drawing the whole time.
where was I when you made this?
Right.
Why was that a secret to him? Like, look, I did 5 different drawings on tracing paper that I happened to find in here.
Right.
I made blueprints that when you squish it together, it's a big secret robot man. All right.
Yeah, well,
what was he doing over in the corner? What was
Inconveniently, the materials he asked for to make the bomb were the same ones he needed to make a suit.
Right.
I mean, there were parts of that were a little hard to swallow. Like, some of it was a little hokey.
It's comic book stuff, though.
It is comic book stuff, but, like, you're watching him in the cave the whole time while he's making it, and nobody noticed, the one guy, the boss guy, sees the boot on his leg, runs in there, and then never asks about it. Like, nobody saw him belting out a chest plate or a face mask or anything.
Right.
Or, like, the contraption that he could hang up in.
Right.
So, I mean, you just have to go with it because you know it's
and
a comic
did.
Book. But there were parts of it that I was like, well, how did he build this and nobody noticed that he was building this suit? You know? It's like... And then the other part, too, is... he's building, you know, he gets back, obviously he gets rescued, and when he's building the Iron Man suit in his lab, like, there's a lot of trial and error. You know, like, he's flinging himself against walls.
Oh my God.
You know, he's trying to figure out how
that
to use this stuff. But then, Jeff Daniels, the dude, can drink a White Russian and just, like, he knows how to work everything, right? He just jumps in that suit and everything's fine.
Right.
There's no learning curve at all for him, you know? He just instinctively knows how to work everything. But yeah, and then the whole time I'm watching that, I cannot see Jeff Daniels as anything except the Big Lebowski. So it's like I have a hard time. I just kept picturing him in his bathrobe in his long hair, you know, being the bad guy. Jeff Bridges, yeah, I don't know why I kept saying Jeff Daniels.
Isn't that Dumb and
Dumber? Yeah.
Is that his name?
Yeah, Jeff Daniels is
Dumb and Dumber.
The other Jeff.
yeah. Jeff Bridges. Yeah. But that there's that leap. But I leaned over to Joe and I'm like, with all this trial and error, why didn't he make the helmet first? Or at least put on a football helmet? You know?
Yeah, because that one scene where he gets flipped against the wall, that had to hurt.
Right?
I laughed so hard because I forgot all about it. And
you
I was
did?
Like,
oh,
well,
good. No, because
like I said, I haven't watched it in a while.
Right.
So I was like, I didn't remember that happening.
I was just going to say, the first time I saw that, I laughed out loud in the theater. I thought that was great because he's like, he's going conservative at 10%.
Right.
And it launches him.
Yeah, launches him across the room.
And then his little robot there hits him with the...
Which that whole thing was great. Like, if you douse me one more time,
I'm coming,
you know,
donate you to City College.
And then obviously he comes back from his flight test and crashes through 3 floors of his house, and then he's laying there, and the thing comes over and sprays him. It's like the comedy. You forget how funny these movies are. You know, like there really is a lot of comedy built in to all of these movies, but you kind of forget that as you go along. But, yeah, I found myself laughing a couple of times in this. You know, there was some literally laugh-out-loud scenes in it, so.
Yeah, just the character of Tony Stark is funny. Just the way he treats people. And did you watch any, or I don't know if you've ever seen any of the outtakes. There's a really good outtake of them on the plane. It's Robert Downey Jr. and Terrence Howard having the sake.
Yeah.
And the stewardesses are dancing. Well, there's a more elaborate outtake of that, and Terrence Howard is supposed to be talking like he's a little bit more drunk, and you could see Robert Downey Jr. trying to hold the laugh in, and it's just...
Oh, yeah. I haven't really watched any of the outtakes.
It's probably on your Blu-ray set. It's on the...
It probably is.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
Well, it might even be on Disney Plus, because put some of that stuff on there. I don't make a habit of watching... the extras, so I didn't even look for it.
But jumping back to the beginning, that exiting, I don't care how many times I watch this, that exiting of the cave, when they ramp that up, and it was just so much fun the first time, and it's been a blast every single time. You know, it more home theater talk, but that the 4K, you can just really see the detail that you can see
on
that Mach 1 coming through the darkness and stuff. But the sounds, it was so good. It's so funny, too. It's like when he comes out and he starts hitting them all with the flamethrowers. But again, getting to a flaw, he's got eye holes that like a hockey puck would go through, but nobody can shoot there.
Right. No bullets hit him. I thought that, too.
No bullets can hit him. But it's such a great scene. It's such a build up with the soundtrack and the score of the movie, and it really builds you up, and you haven't even gotten to the real Iron Man suit yet.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny because I thought that too. It's like not one of those stray bullets made its way through the mouth or the eye holes on that thing because they were pretty big.
Yeah, yeah. Or not only that, his heart thing, arc reactor, which is exposed. Nobody could hit that.
Right.
It's like, that's all.
But I love that suit too, because it was such a callback to the original. Like, that's how Iron Man looked in the comics when the helmet first came out.
Yeah.
So it was such a great callback to the early artwork and, the early character designs that, I thought it was really cool. And even just the evolution of the suit, because looking at the finished Iron Man suit in this movie compared to what we got to see later on, I was like, well, that looks kind of cheesy, in comparison to what we knew we were going to get later.
Yeah.
So just seeing all that, I thought was pretty cool too.
I love the tech that put them together.
Yeah.
This movie alone has probably the best Iron Man tech, because you take it for granted the rest of the movies. In Avengers when he lands on top of the building and he walks and everything comes out and does it really fast for you. But this one here, they really get into it. When he first puts on the Mach 3?
Mach 3.
That's the first red and gold one.
Right.
When he first puts that on to go out, and you see how many layers gets put on him.
Yeah.
In this episode, I'm calling it. It's, you see all that metal that gets attached to him, and then the outer shell, but there's even a shell before that. And it just, you don't get that in any other Iron Man movie in the detail in this. And then the detail you see in all of the mechanisms that are putting them together.
Right.
It's really cool. I think Iron Man 2 has a little bit too. Like when
has a little bit of it, but they kind of did the heavy lifting in this movie, and then they didn't really feel the need to go back to it as we went. And then obviously as we flash forward, it becomes what was it, nanotech or whatever the heck it was. Like it wasn't even.
That's not even as fun though. I mean,
no, it wasn't as fun. But I'm saying like it's evolved so much from where we started to where we got to with Endgame and Infinity War that. Yeah, but I thought this was really cool, the way, obviously it was an ordeal to get in and out of that suit. By Iron Man 3, he was just stepping out of it and, putting it in sentry mode, and it was pretty easy.
Right.
But this was like a chore. Like, you couldn't just suit up. You had to know 30 minutes in advance where you were going, because it took you that long to get the suit on.
I mean, I love the heads-up display. I love how they did all that. I mean, this being the first movie. You see, he's not really looking through the eyes. There is one scene in this where I think it's when he first freezes over and his suit shuts down, and you actually see out the eyes from inside the suit, and you can see stars and stuff. And that's the only time you can actually see out the eyes.
Right.
But all the other time, he's just seeing a heads up display of his surroundings, like cameras are bringing it into him.
And thinking about going back to that technology, because. Like, that was an innovation. Like, because for Robert Downey Jr., he probably only ever put that suit on once or twice.
Right.
The rest of the time, he's just sitting in front of a green screen with his face, and everything's happening around him, But as an actor, like, that's a great gig, right?
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to do anything for the most part. You put on the suit once, and that's it. You're done.
Yeah. So, did you hear he's supposed to be doing the voice in,
I heard something about him coming back. Yeah, and doing the voice for Ironheart.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if it was like that he was going to be the suit AI or if he was.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah. That would be cool.
That would be cool. That would be, I mean, again,
definitely full
seems
circle.
Like an easy gig for him.
Well, yeah, it's just, I am Groot, right? You're just going to come in, sit down for a half hour and record the whole season and then go home with his, $80 million paycheck.
Yep.
So.
And a few movies later, he can become the next Vision.
Yeah. There you go.
So we picked on a few things. I'm sure we could find a couple others. It is a comic book movie. We both absolutely love the movie.
Yep.
What'd you think of the overall story, though?
Well, ultimately, like, again, like, I thought his flip was a little fast. Like, he didn't necessarily earn the the hero path. You know what I mean?
Well, it fast? Because he was in captivity for 3 months.
That's true. I guess, you know, we're looking at it in, like, 10-minute time frame.
Yeah.
But, but yeah, I guess it's 3 months. But, like, when did he really, like, I don't know. Like, I thought that part of it, but the other part of it, too, is that, like, you don't really know why the Big Lebowski wants to kill him. You know, like, what was going on before that trip? Like, at that point, Tony wasn't butting heads with him. He was making weapons. He was out there pushing the weapons on the military. He was selling the weapons, making the money. He wasn't trying to change the company in any way. So, like, where was the discontent coming from? You know, like, they didn't really – I feel like they didn't earn that part of it either, because, like, there was no reason for him to want to kill him.
They kind of –
they were both making money like crazy and should have both been happy.
They kind of tried to solve it with one line. When Obadiah says, he says something like, I want your power, or like he wants his position.
Yeah.
Or whatever. I can't remember what, like, he's the, like, Tony Stark's the top in the world right now as far as weapons manufacturing, right? But he wants to be the top. And there was one line, I can't remember what it was, but there was one line where he says, like, that's why he wants to kill him so that he can be on top.
But I feel like Tony was just a figurehead to Stark Industries, and, like, all the power rested with Obadiah anyways. Like,
right.
He was really the one that was running that company, and Tony was just the pretty face that, you know, was out there, you know, pushing the product, but...
So if that's true, along your lines of thinking, then they kind of did answer it, because they start the movie with Tony getting the awards, Tony getting the accolades, nobody's recognizing Obadiah Stane... And he's just the guy in the background. And even in that montage at the opening of the movie where they show where Tony's getting the award and they go into Howard's background and Obadiah is a background player. Then Tony grows up and leaves while Obadiah keeps the company running. And then Tony comes back at 21 and the company takes off and Obadiah's in the background. So they're laying the groundwork for his animosity of being like jealous and like, I want to take over. But here's where I think there's a pretty decent flaw. That's all well and good. If you want to take over the company and you're going to pay some like Middle Eastern people to kill him and it looks like an accident, then you take over the company and you're head of Stark Industries. What was his, dare I say, end game after that? Like, I'm going to be this giant monster and everybody's going to pay attention to me?
Right.
Like, he gets in his Iron Man suit and it's like, what was, like, Obadiah had completely lost his mind.
Right.
And was like, once he got into that Iron Man suit, he was like destroying the city.
Right. Even if he won, Iron Man killed.
What was his end game if he won that battle?
Right.
Like, it was like, oh, well, I don't know. What do you. You know, you're a terrorist at that point.
Yeah, again, there's some flaws. You know, I mean, overall, the story was fine, but obviously we could pick it apart a little bit.
See, feel like this is my thing. I feel like the story was fairly weak after you get the origin and like...
Right, but right. Once you get the suit built,
right,
it kind of falls apart a little bit.
So, like, it's funny. The entire MCU was based on, like, built upon, like, we built the suit. And we kind of like lost our way for 3 movies. We got traction, you know, but it's like, but when you add in some, you know, bright colors and some rock and roll music, it's like we're along for the ride. And at the end, you're like, what was the substance of the story? I don't really know. But 23 movies from now, it's going to really hit you in the heart.
Right. It's going to pay off.
You know, and I think that's actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
And that's like, I actually feel like, remember I said last week, like I felt like Bloodshot had more substance to their story than this one did.
Because, well, it definitely had more layers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when I say substance, I'm not saying like it's a deep and meaningful movie. And
no,
I'll never
I know what
Bloodshot,
you mean, but there was a little bit more plot development and, more intrigue.
Yeah. You know? To the writing. Whereas this was just like, all right, we built a suit. We introduced Pepper, we introduced S.H.I.E.L.D. Oh, and the other big one is the giant reveal. Correct me if I'm wrong, is this the first movie that had the post-trailer scene?
I think it's, well, ever?
Other than Ferris Bueller.
I'd say Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
But was... I mean the first comic book movie to allude to a bigger world.
And actually, it might have been the second movie ever to have one. Like, after Ferris Bueller, I don't know if there was any other movie
that ever
had that. None
of the X-Men had it, right?
No.
And then none of the
DC movies obviously had it. So.
Right. So, I mean, this was the first movie that now we stay, I mean.
Right, and I don't even know how we knew to stay at that point. Like, I don't know if I stayed the first time.
No, we
because
didn't,
I probably didn't know.
We heard about it. You hear about it after the fact, and after, then people go back to see it. Right. And
that's what I'm saying. Like, there are people that sit all the way through the credits all the time in every movie.
Well,
so obviously somebody figured it out.
People that work for Panavision or something.
Well, no, but like, I listen to a lot of Kevin Smith podcasts, you know, and obviously he's a filmmaker, but he sits through every credit of every movie and actually pays attention to what people did because that's his industry.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are people that do it, but I don't even remember how I knew to stick around and watch that credit because
I think
nobody ever did that before, you know?
Exactly. But once you heard about it, you did it. And now we're like...
Because this probably was not an opening night movie for me back in 2008.
Oh, it was for me.
Definitely I don't think I saw it opening day. I mean, I know I saw it fairly early on, but obviously the word had gotten out to stick around and watch the credits.
Yeah, this was a midnight release for me.
Yeah.
But I saw the original Hulk as a midnight release. Yeah. So that was...
It wasn't a big thing for me. Like, I wasn't a big have-to-see-it-on-opening-day guy,
right.
You know, for most things. I think Phantom Menace was really one of the only ones that I went and saw in line on the first day. But as they became... Really, it was the rise of the internet that made me do it more than anything because of spoilers, you know.
Well, then they started moving opening night. It wasn't midnight anymore.
Right.
They started
doing it at 8 o'clock. Thursday at 7 or 8 o'clock.
Right.
Yeah, because, you know, I always had to be at work at 4 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock in the morning. I wasn't up at midnight on a Thursday night watching these movies.
No, I always went to the midnight. I saw Independence Day as a midnight showing way back in the 90s, you know. And
yeah.
It was fun to do, and those were great, great times to go because I saw all the Lord of the Rings as a midnight showings, you know, all the Star Wars. I say all the Star Wars because remember they re-released Star Wars, Empire, Jedi. I went to all the midnights of those, and it's fun seeing the fans. You know, it's like a mini Comic-Con at those things. People are all dressed up and. But yeah, same for Iron Man. It was the same thing. There were a lot of people there.
Sure there were. I'm just saying I don't recall
if
I did or not, but I don't necessarily think that I did. I'm sure I saw it within the first 2 or 3 days.
Well, how could you not? I mean,
right.
But it is funny when you strip this thing down to its core and you're like, there's nothing.
Yeah.
It's a
Fast and the Furious movie, right?
It's
all cars and
that's
it.
But the ride
was fun enough that it's obviously, again, it launched the MCU, right? Like,
oh yeah. And I think that we had that chemistry between Gwyneth Paltrow and Robert Downey Jr. too.
Yeah.
That offered a little bit more substance to it than even like we'll go to Bloodshot from last week. I didn't think that there wasn't as much chemistry in that movie. Like
with
that.
Him and KT.
Yeah.
There wasn't. You know, you knew they were going to end up together because it's an action movie and there's a leading man and a leading lady. So, I mean, but yeah, they didn't have that chemistry on screen. Like you said, Gwyneth Paltrow and Robert Downey Jr. really did have a good chemistry.
By the end of that movie, you were rooting for them.
Yeah.
You know, whereas at the end of Bloodshot, you weren't really like, I hope those two really find a way. You know,
it was... Well, and like Martin said when he was talking about it, it's like you have the obligatory end of the movie where the guy gets the girl and they're sitting in the desert and they drive off into the sunset. And it's just kind of what it was, you know.
Right.
It was a little bit more formulaic.
Did you hear the ending that we talked about, though? Did you hear the value?
Oh, no. I heard you guys beating around the bush 10 minutes. And I was
getting
annoyed because I had no idea what you were talking about.
Yeah. But, I'll tell you about it later. It's on their Valiant Central podcast.
Yeah.
That's where they talked about it, and Travis from that one said it. But you'll get it. You'll like it.
Well, the other thing I wanted to say, too, because you were talking about the chemistry with, you know, Robert Downey Jr. and Gwyneth Paltrow. I actually liked the chemistry. Like, I thought Terrence Howard was a better Rhodey.
Did you?
Like, I liked the chemistry between the two of them much more than I ever did with Don Cheadle. Now, I liked Don Cheadle as an actor in a lot of things, and he was fine as Rhodey, but given my choice between the two with, you know, after watching this again, I would have chose Terrence Howard to go on, because I thought they had a really good chemistry together.
So that's interesting, because when this movie came out, I loved Terrence Howard. I loved the character. I thought he was a perfect Rhodey.
Right.
But after the fact, and hearing his comments about not coming back, it kind of it skewed my, like, I was like, I don't.
You had
like
the
him.
Gwyneth effect, like,
yeah,
you couldn't separate the art from the artist.
Well, here's the thing. It's hard to not separate it when the artist doesn't come back to the art.
Well, yeah, you're right. And if it had always been Don Cheadle, then I would have, obviously, I never would have thought twice about
right.
it. I thought he was great and I liked him.
And I love Don Cheadle. I like Don Cheadle in a lot of things. I love his humor. I love how he'll take roles that you're like, oh, I thought Don Cheadle was better than that. You know,
yeah.
Like, and I like Don Cheadle. And so when he took it, I was like, I bought in right away.
Yeah.
And I love the way they introduce him in Iron Man 2, and he walks in and they, like, Tony Stark turned, Robert Downey Jr. turns around and looks at him. What are they, in Congress or whatever?
Yeah.
And he goes, he's like, Rhodey? And that's their way of introducing it. Like,
right.
So like you, the viewer, goes, oh, this is Rhodey now. But I really liked, that's the thing is, like you said, you can't separate, like, how do you separate the artist from the art
right.
when he doesn't come back? And
right.
I kind of held that against him. So, but I did, when I first saw it, I loved him. I thought he was great, and I was disappointed he wasn't coming back.
Yeah, like I said, I enjoyed it. Because, again, you forget, you know, as I mentioned, I probably haven't seen this movie in 8 or 10 years. So, to me, Rhodey, you know, like Don Cheadle is Rhodey, you know, almost to the point where I forgot there ever was Terrence Howard to begin with. But then when I watched this movie again, you know, obviously it came back to me. I just thought, like I said, I liked the chemistry that they had together. You know, I thought that he would have been good going forward. You know, obviously, like I said, if it never existed that way, I wouldn't have missed it.
And you're gonna like this one. Another one dealing with chemistry between two characters.
Okay.
How chemistry between Peter Billingsley and Jeff Bridges?
Oh yeah.
that scene, it's like, and that's the scene from Far From Home that everybody's
right.
like, is that the same guy? And it's like,
yeah.
That guy is Peter Billingsley.
Yeah.
It's like, you forget it because, like, the hairline that they give him and everything, it's like, that's Peter Billingsley. But I don't think I've seen Iron Man since seeing Far From Home, but I knew that was the same guy.
Yeah. Well, I didn't remember. I even asked you when we
yeah.
were talking about Far From Home, because it had been so long since I'd seen it that I didn't remember that it was the same guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I picked up on it right away when I saw it and that scene from Spider-Man came back. And I was like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's the same guy. And I thought his line was funny. Now, I can't remember exactly what it was, but I thought his comeback was pretty funny when, you know, he was kind of getting yelled at. He was like,
well, I'm not even joking.
Oh, he said something like, would have figured it out right away. And he says, well, I'm not such and such or whatever.
Well, that's what it was. It's
yeah.
They were in front of the giant arc reactor.
Right.
And Jeff Bridges turns around like he's like, this isn't. So Peter Billingsley's character, I don't know the guy's name, but
yeah,
his character goes, it's impossible to build this. And Jeff Bridges whips around and he's like, Tony Stark built this in a cave.
Oh, yeah, that's
and he
right.
grabs him like he's in his chest, right? And he's like, but I'm not Tony Stark.
Right.
Right? And when I say the chemistry on that scene, is like, go back and watch that scene. It's like, you got to imagine in real life when they hit cut, they're like, thank God he nailed his line because I could never get my tie to flip that way again.
Right.
His tie flips up over his head, goes over his shoulder. And it's such a great, like, I love thinking of those scenes, like, from, like, the real life point of view when they go, eh, cut. And you're like, all right, can we do that again? It's like, probably not. But that's Peter Billingsley, who is like a Christmas Story kid.
Right.
He's also a producer on this movie, too.
Is he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't know that.
Yep. And we really haven't talked about Jon Favreau yet.
No.
Director. No, we didn't. He directed this, right?
Yeah, he directed it. Yep.
And, you know, introducing Happy Hogan, which is little used in this movie, but obviously develops from here.
Yeah, he barely shows up in this. I think you only kind of see him a little bit in the background. And
yeah, when they he doesn't have a lot of lines in this.
Yeah.
He's like, thought I lost you there. You did, sir.
Yeah. But yeah, obviously he just kind of inserted himself briefly into this one, but comes back to play a big role later on.
And from what I understand,
again, really the biggest, you know, again, everybody talks about Kevin Feige and the genius, you know, that he has in orchestrating this whole thing. But again, it all goes back to Jon Favreau, right?
Yeah.
Like if Jon Favreau doesn't make this movie, you know, there is no Kevin Feige. Like none of this happens. You know, and now he's doing it over there with the Mandalorian too. So,
yep.
But yeah, he fought a lot. Like I said, he fought for a lot with this movie because, you know, again, if it wasn't for him, there's no Robert Downey Jr. There's no MCU.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy to think about.
Yep.
2008, like you said, 12 years ago, this is all starting right, out.
Right, in some ways it seems so long, but then really it's nothing.
Yeah.
Like, I watch a movie and I'm like, oh, I just saw this. And then I was like, oh, that came out in 1990. That was 30 years ago. You know?
Oh,
it's
God.
Like, I still think the 90s were like yesterday. And then,
then
you realize that was 30 years ago. So 12 years really isn't that long. And I mean, you think about, again, like you said, 23 movies and 23 or more billion dollars, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, almost every one of these was a billion-dollar movie, and, you know, it's just ridiculous to think about all that, and it's only been 12 years.
This one was made for $140 million, and it made $585 worldwide. So,
well, I wouldn't even guess anymore, because, you know.
That's part of the entertainment.
Yeah. How much did this cost to make? Well, I know, looking at Bloodshot, this one probably only cost, like, $35 million to make.
Yeah.
Because again, think about what did you just say? You said $140 million to make this.
Yeah, estimated.
And Bloodshot was what, $34 million, $35 million?
$45 million.
What was in this movie that was so much better than, like, where were the effects in this that were that much better than Bloodshot? Why did this movie cost this much to make? You know what I mean?
Tech's easier. Like, tech's cheaper now.
I guess.
Think of all of that tech that they used in Iron Man to put him together. And all that CGI, I bet you that CGI was more expensive back then.
Probably.
I know from listening to the, he did Independence Days, the director.
He
did Midway.
Roland Emmerich?
Yeah, Roland Emmerich. Listening to him, he couldn't have made Midway 20 years ago. Because the technology that it needed to make the movie was too expensive. And like he said, when they made that movie, they're like, he pitched that movie to Sony, and it's like a Japanese-owned company. They're like, we don't want to make a movie for $150 million about a war we lost. So, but now he can make, I think he made that movie for like $50
million. Yeah, because I'm just saying, like, if you know,
or $100 million, but he saved $50 million by waiting because the tech, now he has the tech and it's cheaper.
Yeah, because like I said, because I'm just saying, if you watched Iron Man and Bloodshot back to back, which we pretty much almost have because it's only been a couple of days.
And you
kind of consider like, what if they both came out now? You wouldn't think there was $100 million difference in the budget.
No.
You know? So it's just, again, crazy to think about what you can do with less now, I guess.
But if you put it up against a $140 million movie now, I think Iron Man, you'd see the difference. Iron Man would look like an older movie.
Yeah.
You know, you're kind of seeing probably the same budget, and you're just, the difference is that it's cheaper now. You're getting the same thing for $45 that you paid $140 for.
Right.
And, I mean, and Iron Man didn't have Vin Diesel.
That's true. The thespian that is Vin Diesel. So.
Hey, I watched that movie almost 4 times now. And
yeah, I know you have.
I still think.
I don't think I've seen four Vin Diesel movies. Period.
I still think he's pretty. I think it's Vin Diesel. Don't get me wrong, yeah. But I still think he's pretty funny in this. I think
he is.
You know,
it had its moments.
I mean, playing a guy. I mean, it's his role of a lifetime for him. He's playing a guy that can't remember anything.
Yeah. It's okay to forget my lines. I'm in character.
I wish I could get that role.
Right.
But yeah, it's all right. Is that good?
Yeah.
Is that good for Iron Man? Did we do it justice?
I think we did.
All right.
For a 12-year-old movie.
We have one last thing to do.
All right.
We have to rank this.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, here we go. No, don't worry. I got you. I got you, buddy. Mm-hmm. So here are the movies we have ranked so far. We have ranked Avengers Endgame, Guardians of the Galaxy, Spider-Man Far From Home, Captain Marvel, Thor the Dark World, and The Incredible Hulk. Now, I just gave those to you in your order, from one to last.
You gave them to me in my order?
The order that you've ranked them so far. So you have Endgame first, and you have Hulk last.
Right.
Where do you drop Iron Man in?
Right below Spider-Man.
Okay, so you're taking this.
Is that fifth?
Fourth. No, that would be fourth. So you would have it ahead of Captain Marvel and behind Spider-Man Far From Home.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me plug that in. I'll give you my list. My list, I have Endgame first, Far From Home, Captain Marvel, Guardians of the Galaxy, Thor the Dark World, and The Incredible Hulk. I actually put this two.
I was going to say, I'm betting you put it at two.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll drop from there, of course, but I have it ahead
I don't think so, because everything you've ever mentioned about this movie, I'm surprised you actually didn't put it at number one.
Oh,
because for you, this is like Star Wars, right? Like A New Hope.
No. Yes. I do give credit to a movie that has, you know, that is the first of something. I'll give extra points for that in my own head ranking system or whatever.
Right.
But at the same, I mean, you know, everybody does their reasoning for, you know, for me, it's like this movie to me is a high rewatchability. I do. I love this movie. I watch it all the time.
Right.
Endgame, I'm not going to watch that a ton. It's a really long movie. It's
hard
to rewatch it just because of the time commitment. But I rank it number one because of the culmination and the writing and how everything it took place. You know, there's different reasons that put it ahead and behind or whatever. But I have a hard time putting it ahead of Spider-Man Far From Home because I'm such a Spider-Man fan. But it's like this is the movie that you don't have this movie, like you said, you know, because look what followed it and the strength of that. And like we said, the story isn't super strong, but you're super entertained the entire time.
Right.
It's, you know, so it's like, yeah, am I saying it's like the story isn't very good, but I make it number two? Does that make sense?
Right. But the Robert Downey Jr. show. I mean, that's
really
what
you're
watching, you know.
The story isn't super strong, but they nailed Tony Stark. You walked out of there going, well, there's one character we can do whatever with because people will come back to see. You know, we could pick out plot holes all day long, but it was super entertaining and people clearly went back.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't looked at the numbers, but I think 2 and 3 actually grossed more money.
I would imagine so, and I argue that both of them are lesser movies. Like, this is better, better than 2 or 3.
Absolutely, by default.
But the other ones probably did more money, just because of word of mouth and the momentum that was building.
Yeah.
You know.
I'll rank those higher than you'll probably rank them, but I think, clearly they're going to be less than this movie.
Yeah.
All right. That it? You got anything else?
No, I think that's it.
You done anything exciting outside of? I've reorganized all my comic books, and Joe and I took the time. We set up 2 6-foot tables, put all my books on, reorganized them into my boxes. I've got almost 3 long boxes full just of everything, trying to get everything. And I go through. I know that's nothing compared to you, but. For me, that's
way more than me. I have one short box of comics. That's it. So,
well, you have a whole store.
Well, I have a store, yeah, but but I mean, I don't go through and reorganize them every day. I don't view it as my personal collection. you know.
Oh, it kind of is.
Well, yeah, ultimately. It might be my personal collection in 3 weeks or so.
Exactly.
I'm going to have a hell of a collection here pretty soon. Because
yeah, for sale.
Yeah.
No, yeah. No, but I went through and I'm like finding books that I hadn't read. Joe's like, how's this one? I don't know. I was like, oh, yeah, we bought that one for the art. But yeah, no, I reorganized all that. That was fun. Looking for other little projects to do.
Right.
And it's tough because I like to do projects like build things, but that takes money.
Yep.
So you don't have the money. So you're like,
I'm trying to keep busy for free.
Yeah. There you go. Netflix it is.
Yep. Well, yeah, I'm sure in a day or two, like, it depends on how long this drags out. Like, I'll spend a couple of days sitting around binging something, but I'll get tired of that, too. Yeah, then I'll be looking for stuff to do, like, you know, you can only clean your house so much. So, yeah. I'll be dusting off all my Star Wars figures and, you know, looking for stuff to do.
Oh, yeah.
Recreating battle scenes. I'll be playing with my toys, I guess. Be setting up all my stuff.
Hey, you have Saturday morning cartoons to look forward to now.
I do. Yeah.
So we've got that going for us. Hey, John, what do we got coming out on Wednesday?
Nothing.
There's that enthusiasm again. Man, we could have like the most exciting, but we could have like Infinity War 2 coming out in comics. And you'd be like, we got Infinity War 2 coming out written by John Romita Jr.
I have to stay on brand. Otherwise, Dr. Joe can't make fun of me because
I know
he talked about his enthusiasm coming into the show.
I know that was so funny.
I was like, okay,
funny.
Gauntlet. I picked up the gauntlet, you know, so.
That was great. I was like, oh no.
I just like that I have a brand, you know. So
well, we both do.
Yeah.
You're Nudie, I'm Pretzel. Yep. Your opinions matter, mine are stupid. All right, let's wrap it up. We'll be back on Wednesday with I don't know. We're going to get creative. We're going to do our normal.
Yeah, I don't know what we're talking about. I know I'll have a lot less prep to do, though. I won't have any documents to ship out.
Nope. So, yeah, that's true. You could use the one from this week.
Yeah.
And we'll see what we read.
I almost didn't send out one today. The only reason why I even sent it out today was so I could remember who the artists and writers were on those books.
Oh, there you go.
Otherwise, yeah. I wouldn't have sent you anything.
All right. What are you guys doing to keep busy? Let us know on Twitter at brightside_chat. You can email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com. Check out all the great podcasts at Nerdy Legion, nerdylegion.com. And what can people do to help us out?
To help us out or to help comics out?
Well.
I know what
there
you're
go.
Getting at. I'm there picking up go. What you're putting down. You can rate, review, and subscribe.
All right.
That took me a minute there.
It's getting late.
Yep.
And I don't know what you're looking at on your computer there.
Oh, Facebook, but.
Oh, okay.
And you know what's funny? I just saw there's a picture that I'm just scrolling by of the Big Lebowski.
So, oh, okay.
I was like, oh, that's appropriate right now.
There you go. So, all right, that's it for this Monday. I will be back tomorrow morning. We will be back on Thursday with something fun. And, of course, Saturday morning cartoons coming up. Look at us. We're expanding.
I know, right?
We're going in all directions.
You're putting me to work. I'm supposed to be on vacation.
You may.
I'm on forced vacation.
If we develop this right, you may not need a comic book store.
That's true, you know. We have nowhere to go but up, so.
Yeah, this is true. It's like, of all the businesses out there, if this one gets a dollar, we're a success.
Right.
We can't lose money.
Nope.
Or anymore. So, we will see you on Thursday. I'll be back tomorrow. Everybody have a great night, day, week. Stay safe.
Yeah, take care, everyone.
Hey, Fred. Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.